Hello, my name's Rich, and welcome to this week's Premier Skills English podcast.
Hi everyone, I'm Jack, and every week we talk about football and help you with your English.
Remember, this week's podcast is also part of week 4 of our new course, Leicester City, Champions of England. You can register for week 4 of the course on this page, following the link on the side or at the bottom of the page if you're on a mobile.
This is the final week of our first free course on Premier Skills English. But don't worry if you miss the course, because you can complete it at any time you want.
Right. In this week's Premier Skills English podcast, we're talking about the teams that have been promoted to the Premier League. Where are the clubs from? What do we know about these places? The language focus is on describing places and phrases you use when you're confused or don't understand.
But before we start with that, let's look at what you've been talking about on the website.
We had a new football phrase for you to guess last week. I think it was quite difficult, because only Kwesi Manifest from Ghana managed to guess correctly last week. The answer was white elephant. A white elephant is a possession that is usually very expensive, but not used very much and often seen as useless.
Buildings are often described as white elephants, especially buildings that are built for sports events like the World Cup or Olympics, if they're not used afterwards.
A white elephant is an example of an idiom, which you probably know from last week's podcast, is a phrase that has a meaning that is difficult to understand from the words on their own.
Last week, we also asked you to tell us some idioms that you know.
Kwesi Manifest used the idiom, "Don't judge a book by its cover," to describe the Leicester team. This idiom means that you shouldn't judge something's value or worth from what you see on the outside alone.
Yes, many experts saw these Leicester players and didn't see a great team.
There are lots more idioms for you to guess thanks to Heidi from Tunisia. She's posted 15 different idioms in the comments section and has set all of you a challenge.
She has put the idioms and a little description of a situation and wants you to say what they mean in the comments section.
So, have a look for her comment in last week's podcast and see if you know any of them. If you do, write your answer in the comments section underneath Heidi's comment. We've put a link in the transcript to her comment.
What's been happening in the Premier League this week, Rich?
Of course, it's the close season in the Premier League.
Close season is a pretty difficult expression. But if you think about it, I suppose it's not that difficult. It's the part of the year when no football is played. So we have the season, or the regular season, and we have the close season. I think it's also called the off-season sometimes. And we have the pre-season. This is the time of year when players are back in training, but they haven't started playing matches or the regular season yet.
Yeah, so we are in the close season now. I think it's called the off-season in America. You know, there's quite a few words that are different in the UK and the US. The seasons, for example, we have winter, spring, summer, and autumn in the UK. And in the States, they have winter, spring, summer, and fall.
And of course, there's football. In America, it's a completely different sport. We call it American football. And Americans call football soccer. I think these differences might be a good topic to look at in a future podcast. So, there's no Premier League news?
Yes, there is. I suppose the biggest news is that Jose Mourinho is the new manager of Manchester United.
That's very exciting. Guardiola at City and Mourinho at United. Wow.
I know. With Klopp at Liverpool and Conte at Chelsea, I think the Premier League will have the best coaches in football.
In other news, we also now know which teams will be taking part in next season's Premier League.
Yes, that's right. Hull City won promotion in the playoff final at Wembley Stadium. They beat Sheffield Wednesday in front of over 70,000 fans.
Some people call it the world's biggest match, or even the biggest prize in world football.
I've heard that getting promoted to the Premier League is worth £170 million. It's definitely a match worth winning.
Right, so Hull City will join Burnley and Middlesbrough in next season's Premier League. And in this week's podcast, we're going to find out a bit more about these three teams and places.
So we have Hull, Middlesbrough and Burnley. Do you think you could place these places on a map, Jack?
Place these places? That's a bit confusing. My geography isn't perfect, but I think I could, yes. Hull is on the east coast of England, Middlesbrough is in the northeast, and Burnley is in Lancashire in the northwest.
That's very good, but I think we need to be a bit more specific. I would say that Hull is near the east coast of England, but is actually about 20 miles inland. Lots of people think it's on the coast, next to the sea, because Hull was very famous for its port and things connected to the sea, like fishing and shipbuilding.
Hull is on the River Humber, and there's a big bridge there. It's called the Humber Bridge, and it was the world's longest suspension bridge when it opened.
It was very expensive to build, and became infamous as a white elephant, because not many people used it. Hull was on one side of the bridge, but there wasn't another town or city on the other side.
I wonder why they built it. I don't get it. Okay, what about Middlesbrough? You're not looking at a map, are you?
No, I'm not looking at a map. You're right that it's in the northeast. Middlesbrough is on the coast, or very close to it. Middlesbrough is also built on a river, the River Tees. It's further north than Hull. You'd need to drive for about 2 hours to get there from Hull. So a match between Hull and Middlesbrough is not a local derby.
Middlesbrough's local derby matches are against Sunderland and Newcastle, which are both further north. The match between Middlesbrough and Sunderland is called the Tees Weir Derby, and the one involving Newcastle is called the Tyne Tees Derby.
All named after the rivers that the cities are built on. Well, Middlesbrough isn't a city, it's a town, but yes.
Burnley isn't a city either, it's also a town. I've always been interested in this distinction between what is a city and what is a town. I've never really got it. I used to think it was about the size of the population. But the title of city is something that's given by the monarch, that is, the queen, or in the past, the king. In the UK, of course.
Traditionally, a place needed to have a cathedral to become a city. But that's not the case these days. There are some cities without a cathedral, and Hull is one of them.
That's strange, because its full name is Kingston-upon-Hull. The first word means King's Town. I wonder why the king named Hull a city, but they never built a cathedral. And why is it still called Kingstown?
And Burnley's local rivals, Blackburn, is one of the few places in the UK that have a cathedral, but isn't a city. It's a town, like Burnley.
I'll tell you what I don't get. I don't understand that St David's in southwest Wales is a city, but it has a population of less than 2,000 people. In my mind, I'd describe it as a village.
St. David's is the smallest city in the UK, but I'm probably going to blow everybody's mind here. The smallest city in England is the City of London.
What? You've got to be joking.
No, I'm not joking. The City of London has a population of just over 7,000 people.
Now I am confused. This is doing my head in. Can you explain?
Well, the City of London is a very small area within London where the Romans settled over 2,000 years ago. And this area didn't change much for 1,000 years. The City of London is now where most of the financial and banking area of London is. It's often just called the City.
So the City of London is a city in London. Ah, I get it now. Hang on. The City of London is sometimes just called the City. No, I don't get it.
Burnley isn't a city either. It's a town like Middlesbrough. Burnley is in the northwest. There are lots of clubs in the region, as well as the Manchester and the Liverpool clubs. There are Burnley's main rivals, Blackburn Rovers, who won the Premier League in 1996, and Wigan Athletic, who won the FA Cup a few years ago.
In fact, it's the town or city with the smallest population to ever reach the Premier League. Only 73,000 people live in Burnley, and Burnley's stadium has a capacity of 21,000.
The shopping centre is probably quiet on match days.
Yes, I imagine that there's hardly anybody in the rest of the town. Right, in this section, we've been talking about the differences between a town and a city in the UK. The differences between the two things are very confusing and sometimes unclear.
And we've also been speaking about the location of a city and where to find it on the map.
This brings us to this week's questions. Question 1. Rich and I described the location of some cities in the UK earlier. Can you describe where a city is? You can describe a city in your country, or maybe choose a Premier League team and find out where it is using Google Maps and let us know.
We'd like you to think about things in the world of football and outside the world of football that you find confusing or unclear. Can you try to use some of the phrases that you can see in the language section below? Or take a look at the transcript and look for the phrases in bold.
Question 2. Which football rules don't you get and find unclear or confusing? And why? Deliberate handball? The offside rule? There are lots to choose from.
Question 3. There are many things that are confusing and unclear. Language is often unclear. I said earlier, place the places on the map. Things in society are another. The difference between a city and a town is very unclear and confusing in the UK. Can you think of something else that confuses you and the people around you?
And remember, if you want us to correct your comments, just write "correct me" at the beginning of your message.
Right. Do you have a new football phrase for our listeners to guess, Jack?
This week's football phrase is one of my favourites on the football pitch. If a player gets it right, it can really confuse the defender and make him look a bit silly. The phrase is to or a. So it can be a noun or a verb. If you're a regular listener to our podcast, you might remember we did a lesson on the history of this word a couple of months ago. This noun or verb means to kick the ball between another player's legs. To give you another clue, it's also a spice that comes from Indonesia and is used in cooking, especially cakes.
I like it. It's great to see players when they're totally disorientated by a They're like, where's the ball gone? Where's the player gone? Totally confused.
Right. Anyway, that's it for today. We've run out of time. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to write your answers to our questions, your predictions, and anything you want to say about the website or Football English in the comments below.
Don't forget, if you sign in, you can score points to see if you can get your club, your country, and your name to the top of our leaderboard.
Bye for now, and enjoy your football.